answering Bible questions. These questions are, we are not given a, you want an answer that answers every aspect. We're trying to give you a Bible answer to the question and enough references so that you can have a good foundation to do some research on your own. And we'll give you what the right answer is, and then you can look through the Bible and substantiate it yourself. The questions are not in any particular order. They just, as they popped in my head, I wrote them down, and then we'll endeavor to answer two or three or whatever every Wednesday night. Right now we have about 60 questions, so it's going to take a while. At 3 or 4 every Wednesday night, it's going to take a while to get them all answered. If you have a particular question you'd like to have answered, if you mention it to me, if I don't already have it in my list, I'll try and add it and answer your questions as we go. Okay? All right, tonight, first question, what happens at the rapture? All right, turn the Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, the rapture is an important event in the life of a Christian. We're all looking for it. At least we ought to be looking for it. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, there's no such thing as the rapture because the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. The rapture is a Latin word, and it does not occur in the Bible. It simply means to be caught up or snatched up. And so while the word rapture itself does not appear in the Bible, the catching up does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look down in verse 13. But I would not have you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall, himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Rapture. Rapto. That's where we, that's why we have the word rapture, is because of that caught up. Together with them in the clouds, to meet them in the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so while the word rapture isn't in the Bible, the being caught up or snatched up to meet the Lord in the clouds is in the Bible. The Bible clearly and emphatically teaches that one of these days, only the Lord knows when, the Lord will descend from heaven with the archangel, will sound the trumpet, give a command. The dead in Christ, those people who are saved and have passed from this life, their bodies will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So one of these days we're going to get caught up. We're going to get snatched out. We're going to be raptured. Now there's a whole bunch of other things that happen when the rapture takes place. And people always got questions about what happens at the rapture. And the sequence of events, or the order of events, and what all is going to happen besides just us getting snatched out. And so I will give you 6 or 7 things that's going to happen when the rapture takes place. First of all, in verse 16, the Lord Himself shall descend. I mention that because we're not getting caught up to somebody unknown. We're not getting caught up to some mysterious force. It is not like a science fiction movie. It's not television make-believe. When the rapture takes place, when we leave this earth, we are going to meet somebody in particular, and we're going to meet them at a designated place. The Lord Himself shall descend. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said, "Why stand ye men of Galilee gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from among you, shall so come again in like manner as you've seen Him go." Jesus ascended, and one of these days He will descend into the clouds and call us up to meet Him there. And so when the rapture comes, I'm not worried about where I'm going or who I'm going to meet. I know. I've known Him for 23 years. I've talked to him. I've listened to him. I've been corrected by him and chastened by him. I've been blessed by him, protected by him, kept by him. I'm not going to meet a stranger. When the rapture comes, I'm going to meet a friend. I'm going to go meet somebody that I've known already 23 years of my life. Amen? And so, while there is an element of mystery about the rapture, as regards to the time of the rapture, there's not any mystery about where I'm going, and there is no mystery about who I'm going to meet. I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself shall descend. All right? Then, notice in verse 14 that He brings the sleepers with Him. So the souls of the people who have died. Now, when you die, your body goes in the ground and your soul goes home to glory. We discussed that the other week when we discussed what happens to the dead. When you die, your body goes to the ground. We bury it because it will become unsightly and obnoxious in its odor. And so we plant it. But your soul departs to go with the Lord. I'm in a strait betwixt two, desiring to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul wanted to die so he could get out of the body. So the soul goes back to heaven. Now, when the rapture comes, when Jesus returns, He brings those souls with Him. Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him, verse 14. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first, talking about the resurrection of the body. And so the body comes up, the soul comes down, and they are reunited. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now, there's some things that happen to you when you get caught up. 1 Corinthians 15 over there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, referring to 1 Thessalonians 4:14, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And so over in Corinthians there, the people who are alive and remain, when we get caught up, we get changed instantaneously, so that we have a glorious body like unto His glorious body. So when the rapture takes place, Jesus comes down to the clouds, calls us up, He brings the souls of the departed with Him, raises their body, reunites them, and then translates our living body into a glorified body like His. All that happens in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The living are caught up in verse 17. Their bodies are changed, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. And we get a body like unto His glorious body, Philippians 3, 21. Now, this body that you get at the rapture is like unto His glorious body. You're going to get a body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, why is that important? Because His body was unique. After His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection, His body was changed. His body could appear and disappear. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples were in a room meeting for fear of the Jews, the doors being closed. And Jesus appeared unto them in the midst. That is, they were in a room like this with all the doors closed because they were afraid that the Jews were going to kill them. And in the middle of the room, Jesus just materialized. You're going to have that kind of body. Not only that, His body could take on other forms. When the disciples were on their way to Emmaus and they were walking along, and this fellow joins up with them and they're walking, and he asks them what they're doing and why they're so sad. And he begins to explain. They explain to him what's going on. And they said, haven't you heard what's been going on here in the last few days? And then the Lord, it said, appeared to them in another form. It said, and then He opened their eyes and they beheld that it was the Lord. He appeared to them in another form. And so Jesus' body not only could materialize inside a closed room, He could change His form so as not to be recognized. Now, how many of y'all seen all that in science fiction movies the last 5 years? Why? On Star Trek, don't they have shapeshifters? Don't they have, can't they teleport people from one place to another? transporter rooms and all that nonsense. I don't need all the gizmos. I don't need all that hokey science fiction stuff. They are never going to catch up to a King James Bible. Amen. All right. So now, you get a body like his. It's a supernatural body. It's a real body. That body that the Lord Jesus Christ has is a body of flesh and bones. Look in Luke 24:39. He tells them, hold me, touch me, feel of me, and all that. Why? He said, because a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. That is, when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he had a body of flesh and bones. It was real. It was solid. It was substantial. You could grab it. You could hold it. You could put your fingers in the hole in his side. Yet, it had supernatural qualities to it. It could go from place to place. It could go from heaven to earth in under 4 hours. It could change shapes. It's quite a... I'm looking forward to mine. It won't ever get sick again. It won't ever get tired again. It won't ever wear out again. It won't ever die again. I can't hardly wait to get that supernatural body. So he said, I have a body of flesh and bone. Now take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, the Bible says, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what it says? Flesh and blood cannot enter. But Jesus has got a body of flesh and bone, no blood. So your glorified body is missing something that your flesh and blood body have. Blood. Genesis says, for the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. And the reason you die is because your blood is bad. And so when you got saved, you got a blood transfusion. You got a shot of the blood of God. Acts 20:28 says that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. Okay? So you've got supernatural blood. You've got a transfusion. Now, the blood of God isn't red. Your blood's red. But the blood of God is clear. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? Over in the little epistle of 1 John, it says, when they stuck the spear in his side, it said, and out came blood and water. Not blood only, but blood and water. That is, there's two natures to God, to the Son of God. There's the human nature, Jesus the man, and there's the God nature, the Christ. He is all God, and he's all man. And he has the nature of Adam, one, and he has the nature of God himself. And he has two natures or two parts to his blood. He had the red blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And he had the blood of God which washes you from your sins. You ever wonder why you get washed white in blood? Because the blood that washes you white ain't red. Matter of fact, it's clear as water. Hello! Wake up. Now, so when the rapture takes place and your body gets changed, you lose something. You lose the blood out of your body. If the rapture took place tonight, when they came in here tomorrow or next time somebody came in here, when Bruce and Terry show up on Sunday, they're not here, I get them, right? Brother Mark really liked that. When they came in here on Sunday morning, if the rapture took place tonight, all the lost church members that show up on Sunday would find a stinking mess of dark, black, coagulated blood. Because our bodies, the flesh and bone, would be gone and the blood would be left behind. Flesh and blood can't enter. But the body of Jesus Christ is flesh and bone. So when they come in here, the floor will be all nasty and yucky with old dead, dried, stinking blood, and there'll be heaps of clothes laying here You're not taking your fine clothes with you. All your jewelry is going to be laying right where you left it. You'd be gone. Okay? That's going to happen at the rapture, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then something really bad happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ." When the rapture takes place, immediately following the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer is going to be judged for the works done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, we're not talking about sin. No Christian is ever judged for sin at all, any place, any time, ever, after he gets saved. The sin question was settled once and for all, forever. The only thing you're going to get judged for is service, deeds, done in the body after you got saved. And that takes place at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so at the judgment seat of Christ, the things you've done for God are tried. And if they were done for the right reason, the right motive, they passed the test, and you receive a reward for that. And if they were done to be seen of men, if they were done so you could get the honor and glory, if they were done so you could get a pat on the back, they're burned. And you suffer loss. Now, boy, that's going to be a terrible time. There are going to be a lot of folks at the judgment seat of Christ that think they got big time rewards coming that ain't going to get nothing. Because everything they ever did was to be a big shot right now. Was to be seen right now. To have the applause and the praise of men. And the Bible said, ye have your reward. And so their works will be burned. Even though what they did was good and right and proper, their motive for doing it won't stand the test. You better make sure when you do something for God, you do it for one reason. You do it for the glory of God. Whether anybody ever knows about it, whether you ever get a pat on the back for it, if anybody ever notices, that's totally immaterial. You make sure that you're doing it because you love God and because it's the right thing to do. And I guarantee you, it will stand the test and you'll receive a reward. Amen? Now, the last thing is this. When the rapture takes place, immediately after the rapture takes place. Now, I used to couldn't say immediately, but we're so close to the end, I don't have any choice anymore. Immediately after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist is revealed. He who now letteth will let and leave be taken out of the way. Then shall that man of sin be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And so, when the church goes out, the devil's turned loose. The Antichrist comes on the scene, and for the next 7 years, it is literally hell on earth. The bottomless pit gets opened, the demons come out, and bro, I guarantee you, you do not want to be here when that happens. Thank God, I'm going to be up in glory at the judgment seat of Christ, getting my garments pressed and cleaned, ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And real briefly, that's what happens at the rapture. Amen.